اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
For the safety and long life of all our ulama ikram, maraji ikram, especially wali amr muslimin ayatullah sayyid ali khamenei, recite a loud salwa.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Says, لما أسري بي إلى السماء رأيت على باب الجنة ثلاثة أستر. Says that when I ascended to the skies on the night of Mi'raj, there Rasulullah was taught, educated in many of these crash courses, etc., given to him. Here he says that when I was taken to the skies, I saw on the door, on the gates, the entrances of the heavens, three lines were written. The first line, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Anallah la ilaha illa ana sabaqat rahmati ghadabi. Inshallah, when we will enter, we'll read all that and inshallah, then enter. There's nothing to panic, no need to rush. So it's good to read what is written and then enter. Beautiful ayah. Beautiful phrase, that is, it increases this optimism and hope that we have in Allah. Jalla wa ala says, Ana Allah, I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana, there is no God but me. Sabaqat rahmati ghadabi. That is, before my wrath, before my ghadab, before my rage, I was merciful way before. So first it's mercy. Rahmati wasa'at kulla shay. Allah is that compassionate, is that merciful. He says that before my ghadab, I was merciful. Second phrase says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, As-sadaqatu bi'ashara. That is, if you give charity, sadaqa, to someone who is needy, to a center, to an entity, for whatever cause you want to help out someone. Says when you give that sadaqa, it multiplies by tenfold, bi'ashara. Wal-qarb bi-thamaniya. And if you give that same amount of money instead of charity to someone else who is in need, says that $1 is not $1 anymore. It automatically multiplies to 18 folds. And then says that if you give that same money to someone from among your relatives who is in need, says that multiplies by 30 folds. It's not that $1 anymore. So says, if you give that as sadaqa, it is 10. If you give it as qarz to someone, it is 18. If you give it as a help to someone who is among your relatives, it is 30. Now why is it that when you give it as a charity, it is only 10, and when it is a qarz, it's 18? Says charity, when you give it to someone, some center, they may not need it right there and then. That person who you give that money to, he may not need it right there and then. But when you give someone a qarz as a loan, it is that he is in need. Because of that, it multiplies by 18. The third sentence written on the On the entrance of the heaven is من عرف قدري وربوبيتي فلا يتهمني في الرزق. A beautiful phrase. If we bear this in mind, that also will increase this hope and optimism that we have in Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Says that if someone knew my decree, my destiny, the qadr, how Allah distributes rizq, وَرُبُوبِيَّتِي and His Lordship and His being the provider, فَلَا يَتَّهِمُنِي فِي الرِّزْقِ, then He will never accuse me when it comes to this sustenance and risk. That why did that person get that much of an income every year? Why is it he 20k? Why is the other 100k? Why not me? Why does he have a house, 5 bedroom, and I have just 1 bedroom? So all these questions that come to our mind regarding the rizq and distribution of rizq by Allah, that will never come to our minds. If we understand this whole concept of Allah, how He distributes this rizq. Now to understand this, there's another glorious quote here. It says that أَنْتُمْ كَالْمَرْضَى, that is you, the mankind, all of you are like patients, ill. وَرَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْطَبِيبِ, and the Lord of the universe, He is like that doctor. Now what does this mean? It says that every one of you is like that patient. Patients in hospitals, you've got, for example, assume a ward with 100 different patients, and one doctor comes to that ward to visit in the morning. Sees the first patient, says to the nurse that he is nil by mouth, don't give him anything. We've got an operation to do on him later on today, so don't, no food at all. The other patient says he's diabetic, no sugars, no what not. The other patient says he's fine, you can give him everything what you want, you can even give him a chilu kebab, don't forget to put the butter on top of the rice. There's another patient says this is to be given, this not should be given, only soup, only liquids, etc. And none of these patients object. None of them object. That one doesn't say why he is being given that chilu kebab and we only soup. Why am I nil by mouth and he something else? No one says, no one objects. Here Allah says that أَنْتُمْ كَالْمَرْضَى, that all of you are like those patients. وَرَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ كَالْطَبِيبِ, Lord of this universe, Lord of the worlds, He is like that doctor. So there's nothing to object, nothing to accuse. If He gives someone, He knows best. If He deprives someone, He knows best why. And He never deprives anyone. To whatever the share of every individual is, it gets to him no matter how much he does and what he... One of the other things when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that night of Mi'raj sees in the heaven, he says that I come to a point and there I see there are some angels making a palace, a house, a dwelling place. And there, says that these angels who are laying, making this palace, that palace is made of gold, that is blocks of gold being laid on blocks of silver. They lay a block and they sit back. And then Rasulullah says, what are they making and why don't they make it quickly? Here the angel with him says that, it is that dwelling place, that house, that palace of such and such a mu'min, he who is living in dunya. He says that then why don't they make it quickly? He says that whenever that mu'min says Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar, once one brick is laid over there. So if he's not sending that building material faster and quicker, they also don't lay any blocks over there faster and quicker. So as if our building, our homes that are being built in the heavens, the building material has to be sent from here. So the more of these recitals, the more of these azkar, the more of a worship, then quicker all that will be built over there. Now this is regarding this tasbihat arba'a. Ja'far Tayyar, the cousin of Amirul Mu'mineen and also the Prophet, when he comes from Abyssinia, from Africa, when he returns after performing that mission that was assigned to him by Rasulullah, and that was Tabligh. Rasulullah was very happy. That day when he arrived, it was the day when the battle of Khaybar they had won. Same day, Ja'far Tayyar also arrives. Here Rasulullah has two joys. He says that I don't know which joy of this to celebrate. Or the victory of Khaybar or this Ja'far who I see now. He was so happy that day, and he says that as a token of love, I would like to give you a gift. People were happy that Rasulullah is going to give him riches, gold, silver, whatever they've got from the booty of this battle of Khaybar, but here Rasulullah does not give any of those things. He presents Ja'far with a prayer, says, Ja'far, if you say these prayers once in 2 days, if you say them every day, no matter how much wrong, all of your sins will be forgiven. If you say them every alternate day, the wrong that was done between the 2 days when this prayer was offered, for example, today it was said, tomorrow it wasn't said, day after tomorrow it was said. So the wrong that was done and collected on Wednesday will be forgiven. Then he says, if it was just once a week, the week you recited till the forthcoming week, there is a 6 day gap, says all the wrong in those 6 days will be forgiven. Or if just once a year you recited, says that 1 year gap, all of that will be forgiven. He says this prayer is a four-rakat prayer that was given by Rasulullah to Ja'far al-Tayyar, which got known as Salat Ja'far al-Tayyar, Namaz Ja'far al-Tayyar. One of the beautiful prayers that we have. It takes about 20-21 minutes of your time. Four rak'ah in sets of two. And instructions are available here, clearly written. It's simple. And once in a while, offer these prayers. They are beautiful and miraculous openings. And beautiful they are. Now, says that for those prayers, huge big reward is there. Whatever hajat you may be having will be given to you. Forgiving of sins, etc. Now here, we find that on one occasion, Rasulullah, he says to his companions, that if you stack all what you possess at homes, can you reach the sky? They say, we can't. No matter how much we stack, we can never touch and reach the sky. Then he says that, shall I teach you something, that if you abide by it, the roots of that will be in the earth, and the branches of that will be in the sky. They were happy. They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah, what can that be? Says, the recital, the Tasbihat Arba, which is Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala Ilaha Illallah, Huwallahu Akbar, says that this one recital, if it is recited 40 times after your wajib prayers, before you stand from your prayer mat, says all your wishes will be granted. If you say that 30 times, again that much reward. Elsewhere says that if you say that just 10 times after your wajib prayers, says that 1,000 of your balas and afflictions which are destined to pour down on you will be removed from you. 1,000 of them. And one of them is this, irtidad, and that is switching from deen, that also will be taken away from you just for this mere recital of Subhanallah, Walhamdulillah, Wala ilaha illallah, Wallahu Akbar. Furthermore, says that it's a protection from burning, drowning, being stranded, painful deaths, etc. Only for that recital of the Tasbihat-e Arba to be uttered, to be after every wajib prayers of yours. We talked about compassion and being compassionate towards spouses, towards children. Now at large, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He is the compassionate, merciful. And we, being His creation, have to be a reflection of that compassion of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It was mentioned regarding the Imams, and in particular regarding the Imam of age, when it was mentioned, أَجْسَادُكُمْ فِي الْأَجْسَادِ, as it was mentioned in Ziyarat Jami'at al-Kabira, that your bodies are in the bodies, أَنْفُسُكُمْ فِي النُّفُوسِ, أَرْوَاحُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْوَاحِ, So the presence of Ma'sumin can be felt in the creation at large. That when we look at mankind, it is the body of the Imam. When we look at the mankind, it is the ruh, the soul of the Imam. Now, one of the ziyarat we read, it says, addressing the Imam, As-salamu alayka ayyuhar rahmatul wasi'a. We address Imam as, Salam be upon you, the all-encompassing mercy. As this rahmatul lil alameen was the title of Rasulullah. Or elsewhere he himself says, Imam says, Inna rahmata rabbikum wasa'at kulla shay, that Allah's mercy encompasses everything. Wa ana tilka rahma. That is, Imam himself, he says that I am that mercy of Allah. Or in du'a, nudba, towards the end we read, Allahumma hab lana ra'fatahu, that Allah grant us his kindness, kindness of the Imam, mercy of the Imam, wa rahmatuhu, wa du'a'ahu wa khayra, that we want du'as of the Imam, we want the good of the Imam, we want the grace of the Imam, we want the kindness of the Imam. Why is all that? Because he is all kind. Now the picture that is shown to us regarding the Imam, it's a negative picture. There is a bloodshed, there will be this, there will be that, there will be devastation, there will be horror. That is not the case. All these are made up here, mostly in Hollywood, in the late 70s and early 80s, that film that had come out, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, Nostradamus, etc. So all that, it's made by man, made by Shaitan. Now why does Shaitan need to make all these films? He needs to make them. Because Akhir Zaman, or the era of the arrival of the Imam, it's the expiration date of Shaitan. Shaitan will be killed. Because he will be killed, to live longer, he lays all the traps so that a few more days to breathe to live. Now why does he lay all these traps? Because the idea is, Imam will come when there is an enough number of people, guided, noble, muttaqi, who he can trust, and then he will arrive. Shaitan will lay all the traps, deviate and mislead people, so that people, they don't get guided. When people will not get guided, Imam will not arrive. So he has calculations from this side, he has calculations from that side. It is exactly what we read in Ayat al-Kursi. Allahu waliyyu alladhina amanu walladhina kafaru awliya'uhum at-taghut. On one hand we have Allah and awliya'ullah. On the other hand we have Shaitan and awliya'ush-shaytan. So he lays all the traps in all these different forms and formats so that people, they are constantly misguided, misled, deviated, so that they never become good, never become pious, never become muttaqi, never know God, never bow down before Him. And when they will not do that, there will not be enough people, because Quran says, لَقَدْ كَتَرْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحُونَ. So there will be no salih according to Shaitan's calculation, so Imam also will not arrive. But that is not the case. Allah has said, His word is haq. He never lies. He says it will be filled with salihin. And it is upon us that we also stick to this program of awliya Allah and the pattern of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Increase the number of salihin, increase the number of muttaqin to avail the arrival of the Imam ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. So, Imam is rahmatun lil alameen, kind, merciful, compassionate, no one like him. Or in that birth certificate of Imam, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, when he was born, which is dispatched by Allah, delivered by Jibreel, here in that birth certificate, Allah, he mentions who the Imams will be, one after the other, comes to the 11th and then says, وَأُكَمِّلُ ذَلِكَ بِإِبْنِهِ رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Says that this chain of guidance and guides and Imams, I will complete it with his son, the son of the 11th Imam. Who is he? the tag or the name, the title which Allah gives says He is Rahmatun Lil Alameen, mercy to the worlds. Who is that? The 12th Imam. Now, regarding Imam, says that Wa Ashfaq Alayhim Min Aba, that is Imam, he is much more kinder to you than your own fathers, than your own mothers. Your father will not be as kind as the Imam is. Your mother will not be as kind as he is. Now Imam, he is a reflection of Allah. He is Asma'ul Husna. When we say Asma'ul Husna, means that he is Ism-e-Azam of Allah Ta'ala. For Ism-e-Azam, you don't need to go and search in Quran to pick up an ayah and then say, this is in this ayah that Ism-e-Azam exists. Imam himself is Ism-e-Azam. When you feel like calling Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, you don't find any ayah and you recite, just say Ya Sahib al-Zaman, that is Ism-e-Azam. Say Ya Ali, that is Ism-e-Azam. Say Bi Musa ibn Ja'far, that is Ism-e-Azam. In Quran, you've got this ayah, it says وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has good names, you call upon Allah with the good names. The reporter, he says, I came to the sixth Imam, I asked him, what are the good names of Allah in Quran? Imam says that نَحْنُ Allah الْأَسْمَاءِ الْحُسْنَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ. We, that is the Imams, the Ma'sumeen, are the Asma'ul Husna, the good names of Allah in the Holy Quran. So, regarding Imam, this has to be borne in mind. He is an existence, all kind, compassionate, merciful. Now, naming and being addressed by the Imam, it's one of those honors which a person can possess. Now, if we want to address someone, we name him with his good name. If we want to extend our gratitude and greeting to him, we say, Salamun Alaikum. And if that person is very loving, we try to say that salam in a way that our joy and our association and bond with him is also mentioned in that. It was mentioned yesterday that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that I will always be the first one to say salam to the children. Why is that? Now this is how he teaches, he educates. Now if I say and greet you with a salam, it's an honor that is shown, a respect that is shown to you. But if someone of a higher rank says salam to someone who is younger than him, or of a lower rank, it is an honor for himself. That person said he dignified me by his salam. Now we find that the higher the rank and status of this person who wants to say salam to you, the weight of that salam also magnifies in accordance to the rank of that person. Now if a father was to say salam to his son, it's an honor. If an older person was to say salam to a younger one, that is a further honor. Sometimes we find that in Quran, Allah says salam to some people. Says salamun ala Ibrahim. So when Allah extends His gratitude, means that I am happy with you, I am pleased with you. Whatever you have done, I am pleased with your performance. That is the rida of Allah which has been portrayed in this salam. Salamun ala Nuh, the same thing. Salamun ala Ali Yasin. Now we believe that Imam al-Asr, he knows each one of us by name. He has all that information which he needs to have. He, with all the detailed descriptions of us, our needs, our requirements, etc., our actions, they are all present before the Imam. Daily, weekly, we have different types of riwayat in that Baba Ard al-Aman. Some say that twice, that once a week Aman are presented. Some say twice a week, some say once a day, some say twice a day. But Quran says it's a live online connection between us and Imam. All the time he is aware of what happens to us. He himself says that he never forgets us. وَلَا نَاسِينَ لِذِكْرِكُمْ, that we never forget you. Now, we talked about Ayatullah ibn Bahauddin quite a lot these days. In one of his meetings to his students. He says that this year, in the meeting which Imam had with his companions, with his associates, the name of a few was mentioned. Among them was the name of Marhum Hajjaj Fakhr, among the great ulama who just died a few years ago. Now, these are the great personalities who were assigned by the Imam as hot spots to carry out the affairs of the Imam. He says that the Imam had mentioned his name, but doesn't mention how did he get that information. Now the student, when he got to know that the name of Abu Fakhr was mentioned in the meetings with Imam, he quickly rushes to him and says that this is what Abu Bahauddin has said, that the name of that noble was, that your name was mentioned in the presence by the Imam and in the presence of his associates. Did you do anything miraculous? Anything special? He says, nothing special. It's all these activities which we have. That the only different thing that has happened is that my mother, she has fallen ill, she is paralyzed. And she has no one to look after. It is me who is the carer. I look after her, wash her, clean her, feed her. Maybe it is this, and otherwise, apart from this, nothing else has changed. So Imam, he doesn't come and see how many prayers, how many du'as, how many recitals, how much and what you have done. He looks at these small things, which are magnified before him, being good to each other, spouses, parents, children, relatives, etc. So, that way, when he is pleased and mentions the name of someone, means that he is pleased with that person, that he mentions them as such. Now sometimes this salam which a person extends to another, that too carries all that weight. So his salam, when Imam says salam alaikum to us, it means that he is he loves us, that devotion is there, he cares for us, his mercy, his caring, his sincerity, all of that is embedded in that one salam. Sometimes we find that Imam, he supervises, or even regarding this salam, as to how much and how mighty and weighty it is, especially when it comes from the Imam. Ayatullah Ali Shahri, he is the head of the Darul Hadith in Qom. Also, he is the son-in-law of Marhum Ayatullah Mishkini, the Ustad of Akhlaq, who died 2 years ago. He says that when Ayatullah Bahauddin had fallen ill and it was the last days of his life, the father-in-law and the son-in-law, they say that we'll go and meet him. And they said that we'll ask him, because that's the topic each one of us has. We want to talk about Imam al-Asr, Imam al-Zamani, look and hear about him. Now these two great men, they say that we'll ask him and whether or not he met him, he has come to meet him, etc. They say, okay. They come to see Ayatullah Bahauddin, and after that salam, as they sit, they haven't asked anything. He says that just before you came, Imam was here. He came from that door and he went from this door. And then says he extended and greeted me with a salam. And that salam, the weight of the entire universe. That is, if Imam says salam to someone, that is what happens. That is that devotion, that I am pleased with you, I am happy with you. Imam says, now Imam supervises everything, especially the Shias. Why? He is a reflection of that mercy of Allah, that is rahimiyat, reflection of Allah, that special share of mercy towards the mu'mineen. Says, فَإِنَّا نُحِيطُ عِلْمًا بِأَنْبَائِكُمْ. Imam says, we are aware of you. وَلَا يَعْزُبُ عَنَّا شَيْءٍ مِنْ أَخْبَارِكُمْ. That what befells on you, nothing is hidden from us. We know everything, exactly what is happening to you. And then says, we never overlook you. We never disregard you, serving you, supervising you. We never forget you. Should this have been the case, you would have seen how many mishaps and how many problems would downpour on you. Now that these problems and afflictions don't come towards you, Imam says, it is me protecting them. Because I'm supervising you, I care for you, I love you much more than a father loves his son, much more than a mother loves his. And then says, if this protection of mine wasn't there for you, you would have been ruined by your enemies. Now that you see that you are safe, it is because of me. Here at Ayatollah Naimi, he says that during the days of the war between Iran and Iraq, I come to Masjid al-Sahla. I have a tawassul. Ayatollah Naimi is a pious, regarded person. He says, I come to that Masjid al-Sahla and I'm crying. And there I see that Imam is present. Before the Imam, there is a map. On that map, on one side, it's Iraq. Iran is also there. He says that I saw that on that map, the borders between Iran and Iraq, there is a wall which is at the brink of a collapse. And he says that there is a hand which is holding this wall, does not allow that wall to fall. And then he says, I started crying, pleading and saying, Imam, why don't you do something? After all, it is Muslims being killed, both sides. Regardless of who is right, who is wrong, Muslims are being killed. He says that I saw the hand. Imam says, when I let that headquarter of mine collapse, that will never happen. So Imam's supervision is there, protection is there.
Takbir!
And then says, he is with you in your sorrow, in your joys. If you are happy, he is happy. If you are sad, he is sad. And this is also something that we need to add on to our approach that we have with the Imam. Normally, it is always the sad news, the bad news we give him. When we get stuck, when we have problems, when we've lost a job, when we've got all these different variety of problems at home, we come and start crying and pleading and asking him to help. But when we have any joyous occasion, when we are happy, all those happy occasions are never mentioned to him. That also, it's a bad relationship. On and off, we should come and say to Imam, yes, Imam, we were happy today, this is what had happened, and we want you to be part of this joy of us. He is already part of it, but we need to say that, mention that to him. Not only that we are sad because we don't have this, and all those negative and bad news being mentioned to him. Here, Imam says, Inna lanafrah lifarahikum, that when you are happy, I am happy. Wa nahzun lihuznikum, we also sad when you are sad. Wa Allah la ana arhamu bikum minkum bi anfusikum. By God, I am much more merciful towards you than you yourselves. Ma min ahadin min shi'atina wa la yaghtammu illa ghtamamna. Says there is no Shia when he is sad, but that we are sad with him. There is no one who is happy, but that we are happy with him. One of the other things is that he prays for his friends. The concept of thinking on the good done, it binds one to pray for him. Now praying for the Imam, for the well-being of the Imam, it's one of those things that we need to add on to our everyday program. On and off reciting a few salawats only for the well-being of the Imam. Giving a little bit of sadaqah, reciting a few ayat of Quran for the Imam. That way that bond and attachment that we have towards him, that can be increased, that can elevate. In Quran we've got this ayah which says that وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُمْ بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنِ مِنْ. That is, if someone greets you with salam, you say salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah. If someone says salamun alaykum wa rahmatullah, you say salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. There should be a better greeting in reply. We believe that when we say salam to ma'sumeen at their shrines, we get the reply. But we don't hear. Because, as it was mentioned, we were some thing wrong in our system because of all the wrong which we have done, we don't see, we don't hear. The tips given to us by ma'sumeen, by ulama, are that when you come to the shrine of a ma'sum and you want to enter, the etiquette is that you get A permission is nidukhul before you enter. You stand by the door and you say, أَأَدْخُلُ يَا اللَّهُ أَأَدْخُلُ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهُ أَأَدْخُلُ يَا مَلَائِكَةَ اللَّهُ. You seek permission from all of them. Imam says, if you find that your body shook, if you find that a tear rolled down your eyes, it means that permission granted, enter. That is that reply of that salam, that you wanted to enter, you asked for the permission, you cried, that tear rolled down, you shook, you shivered, permission granted. Or for example, when we offer these prayers, wajib prayers, and in the wajib prayers, for example, if I forgot to say the tashahhud, and I was reminded in the third rak'ah, or the fourth rak'ah, that tashahhud wasn't recited, so it is wajib on me to offer sajda-e-sahab. So in that sajda-e-sahab, what do? I have that niyat intention. I bow down in sajda and say, Assalamu alayna wa ala ibadina. Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is salam be upon you, O Nabi, O Messenger, and the mercy of Allah be upon you. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now when I say this salam to the Prophet, is it not wajib on him to reply back to me? It is wajib, because we believe they are alive. Shaheed is alive. Regardless of that, we believe that they are alive. They get this message, then they reply. So if it is wajib on him to reply to that salam of mine when I was in sajda, says he does reply. And the reply of his is that your namaz which was faulty, it is corrected by the sending of your salam to the Prophet. So that is the immediate effect of that salam of yours to the Prophet in reply when, as a reply, your namaz in which was faulty is corrected. Imam, he says, Ameen to the du'as of every mu'min. Nahjul Balagha, we have a quote, loads of other ayah. On the day of Arafah, we have Prophet Khizr, who is accompanied with our 12th Imam. The job description given to him there is that just say, on this day of Arafah, Ameen, 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 to du'as of every mu'min present. Whatsoever his du'as will be, your job today is just say Ameen on behalf of them, for them. Says that, Innahu, Imam, he writes to his devotees, avail yourself, he says, that is, with regards to mu'mineen, to you and me, if there is something we can extend, a service which we can offer, says you have to offer that. Make yourself easily accessible towards the mu'mineen so that they have easy access to you. Irkhas nafsaka waj'al majlisaka fi dihliz. Now this is because one of the titles given to the Imam of Age, it's Ghawthul Ummah. The same title was given to Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam as well. Ghawthul Ummah. That is, helper of the nation. Imam, during the time of his khilafah, is an old man now. Old men, they need to rest. But we find that in this Darul Khilafah, the headquarters in Kufa, Imam, he doesn't sit in his office. Now the summers in Iraq, they are hot, very hot, 50 plus Celsius today. Now in those days, how much it was, I don't know, but it's hot. Now Imam, an old man in his headquarters, in his Darul Khilafah, he doesn't sit in his office. In summer, he comes and sits by the security guards. When asked that, why do you sit here in this open and by the gate, he says, because people who need me, they can get their reply and replies answered quickly. They don't need to pass all the security and into the office so that I don't want them to be held and delayed. That is Ghawthul Ummah. Imam, one of the titles given to him is Ghawthul Ummah. He is the helper of the nation. He visits the ill, participates in their funerals. But we don't see all this because of those firewalls that we have active on us. When Ayatollah Ismail Gulpaygani died in the early 90s, after Marhum Imam Khomeini, now in his Majlis al-Fatiha that was held on the third day, Ayatollah Imami Kashani, he is one of the Friday prayer leaders in Tehran, he says this. He says, reported to him by those who they trust, says that in the funeral of Ayatullah Rizwan Gul Bayani, there is a mosque named Masjid Imam Askari in Qum. Says that there Imam was seen with his associates. He offered his prayers, and those who wanted to meet him, they came there to meet him. And then they say that from here we will start the funeral, participating in the funeral of this great alim. So someone who has served the Imam, they also serve. And it was mentioned repeatedly that Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, they are so generous, so kareem, they don't leave anything pending for anyone. No matter how much you have served, a step in their way, they pay that back in this dunya and in barzakh and qiyamah, much more to come. Balas, they are removed by the Imam. Ana khatamul awsiya wa bi yadfa Allah azza wa jal al bala an ahli wa shi'ati. Here says that I am the khatam, meaning the last of all the awsiya, and through me Allah puts away every bala, every affliction, every problem that is destined to downpour towards you. He says that I put that away from myself and from my Shias. Examples were mentioned as that hand was present from by the Imam, and he says, I will not let that happen. I will not let that headquarter of mine collapse. Or if, when it comes to the fatwas that are given by the ulama, even in those fatwas we find that the same thing is there. Here being quoted from Marhum Ayatullah Talibani, in the early, prior to the revolution, instructions that were given by Imam to the nation was to come out. Here Ayatullah Talibani, he says that I told him that you were away, and they had a 1 hour conversation. Ayatullah Talibani also is an old man. He says that I spoke to Imam for over an hour, explaining to him what the situation here in Iran is, and how ruthless this Pahlavi regime is. Your instructions are that everyone should come out, and if they do come out, there's going to be a bloodshed, and this blood, on whose neck is that going to be? He says that I came up with every evidence that I could, and finally he says that the only word which he uttered, and as a result of which I also accepted, says that, what if I say instructions are from Allah? He says, upon listening to this word, he says, I'm satisfied now. He put the phone down. So all the way through, this support of Imam is there, especially towards the Shias. This is that kind grace of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or that rahimiyat reflection of Ma'sumeen alayhim salam, especially upon the Shias. Says that Imam, to have this and enhance this bond that we have towards him, there are loads of things that can be done. Ziyarat Ali Yasin, Azum al-Bala, Dua Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, Jami'at al-Kabira, Azkar, Dua Nutfa, etc., etc. So we have to seek help from all these different things, because this is what Quran has taught. Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salat, that you seek help from fasts and from prayers. That when you want something, come to prayers. When you want something, come to fast. When you want something, come to this household of wahy. Now the other thing which Imam teaches us over here is that when it comes to learning deen, can you just get that from anywhere? He says, talabul ma'arif min ghayri tariqina ahla al-bayt musawirun li-inkarina. That is, getting these ma'arif from anywhere but from Ahlul Bayt, that is mandatory. If you go to anywhere else and not Ahlul Bayt, it is equal to rejecting us, denying us. So you can't learn deen from anywhere. You have to come to the right sources, to the right place. So Imam, he helps, he educates, he cures, he guides. And Imam, many a times, he is on the same table as we are. And Imam, he performs Hajj. And in that Hajj, he is seen by many, many times. The other thing, as it was mentioned, that from one hand we find Shaitan laying all these traps, and we have people being misled and being misguided, Imam's mission from that side is the mission of guidance. Now if you look into this tragedy of Karbala, we find that Yazid on many occasions, his slogan was that لَعِبَتْ هَاشِمُ بِالْمُلْكِ فَلَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْدٌ نَزَلٌ. This was his slogan. And this was his faith and belief as well. Now in this one sentence, what does he say? That Hashim, they played with this rule and kingdom. لَا خَبَرٌ جَاءَ وَلَا وَحْيٌ نَزَلٌ. That is, there is no message that has come through. There is no revelation that has been revealed. Total rejection and denial of whatever Rasulullah has brought forth. Now what Yazid does, what Muawiyah does, is that they say that Allah be present, rule be there, but you have to take out the essence out of it. Now they say, we believe in the concept of justice, adala. And throughout, whenever we talk about Imam al-Asr, we find that Yamla Allah, that is, he will fill this land with justice, as it was filled with tyranny and oppression and zulm. So always it's this concept of adl, always it's this concept of justice that plays an important role. What Yazid did, what Muawiyah did, they took away that essence of adalat out of the deen. So much so, they said a king has to be, a ruler has to be a ruler, only a Muslim. Anything else is not required. He just remains a Muslim, that's it. If he commits every wrong, let him do. Adalat is not required, not even in him, not in the subjects, not in God also. Now what they said is that because Hakim is Dhillullah, is the shadow of Allah, and because Adalat doesn't exist even in Allah, and they believe that Allah, if He wishes, He can punish someone who was good throughout his life because He is God. God, He can punish someone because He is God, even if He has done good. And an easy example is that God, if He wants, He can punish Hussein. God, if He wants, He can reward Yazid and send him to the heaven, because He is God. So justice plays no role. So they took this justice out from the whole system. So a ruler can be a ruler, just a Muslim, without any justice. God is also God, because He is God, without any justice. Subjects, people also are people without any justice. That is that whole concept that a person can lead the prayers without being just. We believe that justice plays the vital role. A person has to be just, a person has to be adil. What does it mean? Every wajib has to be done, every haram has to be abstained. You have to be away from every haram. So for the preparations we have for the Imam, says يَخْرُجُ النَّاسِ مِنَ الْمَشْرِقِ, that is a nation from the east, the people from the east will rise to prepare and to establish the government of the Imam. And here Imam says that Tuba liman adraka qa'im ahli bayti wa huwa ya'tammu bihi fi ghaibatihi qabla qiyamihi. That is, lucky are those who prepare and avail themselves for the Imam before the arrival of the Imam. We can't say that let the Imam come and then whatever he says we will listen and abide by his instructions. That is impossible. Not possible at all. This time that we are living in, this era that we are in, it is the era of probation. That we have to learn to be obedient now. If we are obedient to him now, then definitely we will be obedient to him when he comes. So this era of probation or abiding by the instructions of a mujtahid, it is a preparation availing ourselves to be able to accept the instructions of the Imam, because instructions of Imam are definitely not going to be easy. Marhum Wahid Behbahani, one of the great ulama of the Shia world, he went to a town and there he was the Imam. He led the prayers, educated the people, tabligh was there. And on one day, he comes on that minbar after his lecture, he says that Allah delay in the return of the Imam of time. Don't send him so soon. People present in that majlis, they said that what kind of a dua was this? We've been saying Ajjal Farajahu, Ajjal Farajahu for such a long time, from so many hundred years. And you say delay in the return of the Imam. He says yes. Now they got offended. Everyone came and sweared at this alim. And the last one was the khadim of that masjid. He comes, rolls the prayer mat, puts it away and says, Khuda Hafiz, don't come here again. He went back to his house, closed the door, and early in the morning, someone is knocking at the door. He says, definitely they have come to kick me out of this town and they don't want me here. He doesn't open the door. Khadan, he is by the door, he says, open, I want to hurt you, I want to harm you, I want to say something to you. And that is, sorry, I did wrong. He says, how come? Yesterday it was another picture, now it's another scene. He says, I did all that, I came, I slept, and I saw Imam has arrived. He has come, and he is in my house, and I am his khadim. The first thing Imam says to me is that this rug, carpet in your house, it's ghasbi, you haven't paid the khums of it, roll it and put it aside, it's mine. The second instruction, he says, this house that you are living in, this house, it belongs to a sagheer, there is inheritance problem in it. You can't live in that, it's a ghasbi house, prayers, everything is batil here. So, eviction notice given by Imam, leave. Then he says, was it not better where you stay where you were? We were easily living in our lives. Then he comes and says, what you said was right, we are not ready, we are not prepared. So preparation has to be done now. Waiting for the Imam to arrive, and once he has arrived, then we will start working on it. That is impossible. Definitely everyone will fail. For us to pass that test, to be obedient to him, we have to submit to him now. Taqleed has to be there, prayers have to be there, mujtahid has to be there, itaat has to be there. All that has been said to us has to be there. Ma ataakum ar-rasul fakhuzu. Whatever the Prophet said, take, you have to take it. Ma ataakum anhum antahu. Whatever he said, don't do, don't do. So here he says that tuba liman adraka qa'im ahl bayti wa huwa ya'tammu bihi fi ghaibatihi qabla qiyamah. That is, he is obedient to him before he arrives, before he rises, as much as it is possible. We have to avail this and be obedient to him. Now, it was mentioned that in all of these reports that we have, or in most of them, we find this term yadharul adl, that is yadharul Allah azza wa jalla al-haq wal-adl fil bilad, that is that justice will be filled in every land. We talk about justice. Now, one of the examples was mentioned a few days ago, that a person in the presence of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam comes to the Prophet. Now he has his two sons, he kisses one of them. Rasulullah says, why didn't you kiss the other one? Justice means that you have to kiss the two of your sons who are with you. You can't kiss one and leave the other. Imam, when he comes and he wants to fill the land with justice, that is, it is beyond our imagination what exactly that justice is going to be. So Imam, his instructions are that this land has to be filled with justice, and that is the task which will be. By practicing this forgotten method of governance, now the method of Imam's governance is Quran. And Quran, what we have today, teachings that we have today, because Imam is in hiding, because Imam is in ghaibat, Quran is also in ghaibat. We cannot benefit from the Quran as we ought to benefit, because it is Imam who has to provide that benefit. When Imam is ghaib, means Quran is also ghaib. So ghaibat we have, it's not only for the Imam ghaibat, it's also for Quran, because Rasulullah has said that I'm leaving behind Quran and Itrat. Now when Imam is in hiding, it means that Quran is also in hiding as in ghaibat. Now, the other thing is that one of the things that will be seen during the rule of the Imam alayhi salam is كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ شِيَعَتِنَا بِمَسْجِدِ الْكُوفَةِ وَقَدْ ضَرَبُ الْفَسَاتِينَ يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ الْقُرْآنَ كَمَا أَنْزَلَ. That in that Masjid al-Kufa, it's going to be the largest mosque when Imam arrives. Here, despite being the largest mosque, says that there will be so many camps and tents outside the mosque with people filled in, and they will be teaching Quran as it was revealed to the Holy Prophet. So that too, if we want to learn Quran, we can't just wait for that time to come and we go and enroll in the classes that will be conducted under the guidance and supervision of the Imam. For us to be able to do that, we have to enroll now. We have to learn that Quran now. Teach Quran now, and then it will be easier just to acquire the higher levels or upgrade to the higher levels when he arrives. Says that Imam, he will be a haven, a refuge to every nation. Nations, they will cluster around the Imam as bees, they cluster around the queen bee. And that is that grace of Imam. Now we have this ayah in Quran which says that فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, that you have to be, you have to compete with each other when it comes to doing good. We can't say that this good let that person do and that good let that other person do. Here Quran says you have to compete, you have to do. When asked our sixth Imam, he says that نُزِلَتْ فِي الْقَائِمْ وَأَصْحَابِ, says that this ayah was revealed for the Imam of age, that every good that we will see will be done by him, and the Ashab, the companions of the Imam also, they will do every good. It doesn't, now when it comes to good, it has to be a variety of good. Not only these five wajib prayers that have been made mandatory on us and fasting of the month of Ramadan. In addition to that, do something new, something extra. Now you can add this Namaz Jafir Tayyar that was mentioned today to your weekly program, to your start slowly once in a month, once in a week, but try to abide by these special worships. Here says that one of the other qualities of the associates and friends of the Imam are that فَاسْتَبِقُوا بِالْخَيْرَاتِ, they compete when it comes to doing the good. Now Shaitan in the end of time, he will lay all the traps. Now the traps that are laid by Shaitan today says that he will promote this ignorance factor among the mankind. So people, they remain ignorant. That jahalat remains there. They don't learn. They don't remove all those doubts that are in our minds. Doubts that are, that come to our minds, may that be boys, girls, men, women, whoever it is, there is a phase in everyone's life, especially the teenage. There are a lot of doubts that come up. Doesn't matter. They have to come. You have to go through a phase of doubts for you to arrive to the phase of yaqeen. You will never reach that yaqeen without passing through those doubts. So if you have doubts, ask them, get them cleared. And that is how slowly, gradually a person gets to his destination of certainty and yaqeen. Shaitan, what he does is that he just creates these doubts, so many doubts, so that you don't get an answer, you get confused. From that confusion we have to get out. Now, one of the prime ministers of Iran 100 years ago was Amir Kabir, one of the great personalities. During his time, now this document was found in the Foreign Office of Tehran just a few 10-20 years ago. They say that from the Indian High Commission in Bombay, that was the headquarters of the British government, British rule in India, there says that a 50,000 rupees were sent to Tehran. 50,000 rupees of that time, it's I don't know how many billion dollars today. And the instructions given to the ambassador in Tehran was that you spend this money just to increase the level of ignorance among the people, so that they remain illiterate. No one learns to read, no one learns to write. Because if you learn to read and write, that jahalat is gone, ignorance is gone, and that way that ma'rifat of an individual starts growing and he starts learning. Shaitan, what he does is he works on people remaining ignorant when it comes to specially deen. Deen we have to learn. As much as it is possible, we have to learn. And then says tafaqquh, that is about fiqh, that also has to be understood. Shaitan works it in a way that tafaqquh also is gone away. Religion, tabligh, rituals, baseless, unwise, are promoted in a beautiful way so that people, they stick to all these traditional stuff, and that main stuff, which is that main essence of deen, it falls apart. That is how Shaitan works. So not presenting religion in an easy, practicable way, that is also how Shaitan works, makes religion difficult, tough, very difficult. So people, they scare to come closer to religion. So that is another way how Shaitan attacks. Propagating a lifestyle which is inclined only towards dunya, towards sinning, towards vain living, books, TV, sites, games, etc. All these are the ways how Shaitan comes, occupies ourselves. Now when we have so much of occupying and activity going on around our mind, we get no time to concentrate when it comes to worship, when it comes to prayers. So lesser concentration, lesser focusing towards Allah, because there is so much of busy activity around us. So we have to reduce all that as much as it is possible. That way Shaitan also will be left aside. So religion is believed to be something which is for the past, not for this present modern day. Distancing people from ulama is among those tactics of Shaitan, promoting disunity among the believers. Creation of all these isms again is something which Shaitan works on. Deen, ghullat, nasibis, wahhabism, baha'ism, materialism, colonialism, talibanism, secularism, liberalism, freemasonry, zionism, and many more. All of them, they turn back to Satanism. Shaitan, he works in such a beautiful way so that people, they are just misled, dispersed. That unity under one umbrella, it's taken away. The other thing Shaitan works on is defamation. Defamation of character. As Muawiyah and Yazid took away that adalat all the way through from an ordinary individual right up to God, Shaitan also does this defamation in all forms, in all personalities. Makes no difference. You defame the Prophet, you defame the Muslims, you defame the Shias. So that defamation of leaders, personalities, guides, prophets is another tactic of Shaitan. So creating crisis, economic crisis, political crisis, slowly destroying the paths of propagation, strengthening the entity, fights, problems, faith, etc. So all this, these are the different ways that how Shaitan, he attacks, and how this deviation factor is strengthened by him. So we talked about our 12th Imam a little bit, and inshallah may Allah give us further tawfiq that we could talk a little bit about him tomorrow. The mission of Imam, it's like the mission of Imam Nahid Hussain. Now those who've been blessed by visiting the Imam, and those who have reported that when they saw the Imam in his tent. Now riwayat, they say that the voice of the Imam resembles the voice of Imam Nahid Hussain. His mission, his slogan are the slogans of Imam Nahid Hussain. And those who've seen him, they say that where Imam dwells, where he sits, above his head is the shirt, the blood-stained shirt of Abu Abdullah. And says that when the blood in that shirt is fresh, that is the indication given to him that this is the day, this is the moment that he has to move. And when he moves, when he arrives at Makkah, and from there that call will be given, the slogan of the Imam is that Ala ya ahl al-alam ana al-imam al-qa'im. O inhabitants of the universe, I am that Imam, the al-qa'im. The second slogan is that Ala ya ahl al-alam ana as-samsam al-muntaqim. O inhabitants of the universe, I am that avenging sword. Then says Ala ya ahl al-alam إِنَّ جَدِّيَ الْحُسَيْنِ قَتَلُوهُ عَتْشَانًا. Says, O inhabitants of the universe, indeed my grandfather Hussein was killed thirsty. أَلَا يَا أَهْلَ الْعَالَمِ إِنَّ جَدِّيَ الْحُسَيْنِ سَحَقُوهُ عُدْوَانًا. إِنَّ جَدِّيَ الْحُسَيْنِ تَرَحُوهُ عُرْيَانًا. Indeed my grandfather Hussein was left uncovered. So slogans of the Imam are the slogans of Abu Abdullah, are masaib of Abu Abdullah, crying for Abu Abdullah. Here we find that regarding the shirt of Abu Abdullah, in that wida, in that wasiyya, in the last moments of Hazrat Zahra, she calls Zainab, Says Zainab, I've got two packages for you. One to be given to Abu Zar's daughter. The other one is this shirt of my son Hussein. And the day he asks for this shirt, Zainab, know that that day will be the day of your separation with him. And I've got a request. And that is, I want you to kiss the neck of my son Hussein on my behalf. Zainab, she takes that shirt, and on the day of Ashura, the day unfolds, Imam comes to the camp, and after that wida, that farewell, the final one says, Zainab, do you have a shirt, anything I can wear under my garment? She brings and gives, and is reminded of the mother that she has a task to do. She kisses the neck of Abu Abdullah, and on that day of Ashura, after the Shahadat of Abu Abdullah, she says, Mother, you wanted me to kiss the neck of my brother Hussein. I kissed, in addition to that, the veins of his neck. And in the last moments of Zainab's life, Abdullah bin Ja'far, he says that I was shocked to see her request. She says that, Abdullah, take me out in the open. He says, why is that, Zainab? Says, my brother Hussein, he died in that heat of Karbala, on that blazing sand of Karbala, in that desert, and I can't die under this roof. Upon her request, he brings her out in the sun. Says that, I was further shocked and amazed to see that she has something in her hand. She kisses it, hugs it, puts it onto her chest, repeats it over and over again, and then she gives away her life. And when I come closer to see, is that blood-stained shirt of her brother, Abu Abdullah Hussein. And on that day of Ashura, when she comes, and the Abu Abdullah is the last dead person, everyone else has perished, fallen to the ground, he says, Andan buridan az zindagi dil kamad be maqtal shimre siyah dil umid avido man mi davida usu ye maqtal منسو ی قاتل اومی کشیدو من می کشیدم او از کمر تیر من آه باطل اومی بریدو من می بریدم اومی بریدو من می بریدم او از حسین سر من غیر از او دل اومی بریدو من می بریدم او از حسین سر من غیر از او دل ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا ممات محمد وآل محمد اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارة محمد وآل محمد وفي الآخرة شفاعة محمد وآل محمد إلهي بموسى بن جعفر All those who are ill and ailing, especially present in this majlis, grant them shifa. إلهي بحق علي hastening the return of our Imam, our Master. Count us among his best. Count us to be the obedient, those who seek Shahadat in his service. Ya Allah, our children to be counted among the best of Muslims who ever existed. Help us all in performing our duties. Ya Allah, Muslims worldwide, protect them, save them. Enemies of Islam in all forms, in all formats, remove them from the surface of this earth. Ya Allah, all those who have departed, all those who have passed away, forgive them. Allah, elevate their ranks. In our barzakh, qiyamah, and in this dunya, Ilahi, we ask you, never ever come across a separation, even for a moment, between us, Quran, and Ahlul Bayt. Allahumma ajjil fi faraj Mawlana sahib al-zaman Matam Hussain.
Ya Hussain.